faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time to gather in your name, to be together unified and connected through Christ, to look at James and to see what he has for us on this day. We are so grateful, God, to all those who are gathered here, who are worshiping with us online, who will hear this message and this worship service later. May you move and stir our hearts, not only to do, but to speak, to pray, and to be all that you've called us to be. We bless your holy name. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. So I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge yesterday and 9/11. To be able to take some time to pray for the impact 20 years later. For those loved ones who were lost, for those who are still suffering, for our nation, I remember it so clearly. And I want to share this story just for a moment before we get into James, because we are connected in so many ways and sometimes we don't recognize how closely. At the time, I was working for a mortgage company closing loans. I was a youngin'. And I had called to check on one of my clients. It was time for her to close her loan. And her mother answered the phone. I knew she was a flight attendant because I closed her loan and had access to her information. I had no idea she was on one of the flights that crashed into the Twin Towers. So as I talked with her mother, and I prayed with her, though those are sometimes things you aren't supposed to do, but I did it anyway. I remember 20 years later how closely impacted we are and continue to be from this tragedy. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we walk into James, as we hear the words, what good is it? People say they have faith but do nothing to show it. God, in our faith, because of our faith, we pray for those who are still suffering today from an event 20 years ago. God, we ask that you cover the families, that you cover us as we remember and recall where we were at that time. God, we ask for peace in our nation, for there are other things that are coming up, and we need to stand firm and pray for peace. We're grateful to you, O God, for calling us for such a time as this, for using us for your glory. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I want to begin our time with a confession. You know I do that occasionally. And maybe as you hear my words, you would be willing to spend a bit of time confessing as well. I have to admit, this study in James has been a personal challenge to me. It's challenged me to view my attitudes, my heart, the things I say, my actions from the things I've heard other people say, and even my lack of action when it comes to meeting the needs of others. As you have read James, you may have noticed in chapter 3, verse 2, he has acknowledged that we all fall short. He writes, we all make mistakes often. Another translation, it is written, for all of us make mistakes. And in one other, which is my favorite, we all stumble in many ways. James acknowledges in this letter, and we are reminded every week as we gather together in community that we are an imperfect people striving in Christ with God's grace and love to move into perfection. Friends, to be perfectly honest, there is just no easy way around James. And trust me, I've tried. I chose today's text because it frames for us a picture of wisdom and the notion, the belief, that faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity or faithful works. Faithful activity is as simple as writing a note to someone who is in pain. It is as simple as taking the time to place a phone call and to pray with someone. You know, I shared last week, James is a peculiar letter and is known as the Proverbs of the New Testament. We summed up James with a little bit of chocolate. Remember the Dove foil? Their promise quotes, "Don't talk about it, just be about it." That is the sum of James as we dive deeper into how God is calling us in the days to come. Don't talk about it, just be about it. Talk about God's grace, but be about this challenge to be quick to listen. Talk about God's wisdom, but be about this challenge to be slow to speak. Talk about God's love, but be about this challenge to be slow to anger. Through this text, it can be easy to become discouraged. So we frame this picture of wisdom because we are to remember we are not to evaluate as followers of Jesus Christ what we are doing right or wrong. God is the judge of that. We are not checking boxes. At the end of the day, we are about creating, illustrating, and mirroring what it means to live a life of faith as doers and not just hearers of God's word. And we often make mistakes in the process. So, saints, regardless of our age or status, we are willing to continue to nurture the faith that stems from God's grace, from our hearts, our hands, our ears, our minds, our feet, and our tongues. The words coming from our mouths. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a college ministry event in Australia. I know, pretty cool. But due to unforeseen circumstances, I was unable to attend. I know I would have had a lot of really good stories to tell from that adventure, especially since their ladies' rooms are named Sheila's. You probably noticed that at Outback Steakhouse if you've ever been there. In Australia, there is this tree called the stinging tree. This tree grows in the rainforest of eastern Australia and is called Gimpy Gimpies by the indigenous people Gooby Gooby. The leaves of this tree are velvety soft, and when touched or brushed up against, they produce a chemical, a venom, that has a powerful staying power. While taking a shower or scratching the area which encountered the stinging tree, this venom, this chemical, can be triggered days, weeks, and even months after a slight brush. So if you are ever in Australia roaming the rainforest, watch out for the stinging tree and its velvety, soft leaves. As I prayed about this James letter, this tree came to my mind, and I wondered out loud, to the point where my dog was startled, have I ever met someone who may be a stinging tree? Of course, I then had to ask myself, have I ever been a stinging tree? Saints, let that sit for a moment. Have you ever met someone who is a stinging tree? Or have you ever been a stinging tree? You may be asking, preacher, what do you mean by this? Well, like the leaves on this tree, our tongues are velvety smooth until encountered. And at times, maybe a day, months, years, or even a lifetime, they have a powerful, painful staying power. Yes, saints, James is about to get a little messy. The things that we say, the things that come out of our mouths, can have a lifetime effect of pain. A little bit messy. One year while visiting Ireland, a few of us went on a horseback riding trip, and each horse was the name of a beer. I know the bishop is watching today. I wouldn't doubt it. One of the horses was named Guinness, another Murphy, another Budweiser, and I can't for the life of me remember the fourth horse's name. Anyway, I think they intentionally put me, the American, on Budweiser. So Budweiser and I became very close. When Bud wanted to go off path, I would use the reins connected to the bridle to bring him back. Bud and I worked together, so I didn't hurt him and he didn't hurt me. See, saints, our tongues, our word, our faith are interconnected. Just as Bud and I worked together, we are being called to work together as the body of Christ. Our faith is interconnected with who we are in the body. These illustrations, which are throughout James, even today, give to us by this writer, this wisdom letter to the church, spreads apart all that we think we know. We are the body of Christ, and our words matter. As you read through James, you may have noticed each chapter starts off with the phrase, brothers and sisters. It reminds us as the church and as followers of Jesus Christ to treat each other as siblings, working together like Bud and I. I don't know about you, but I don't always treat my siblings well. They refuse to listen to the things that I say, even as I was trying to teach them at age 9. It would never work out to my benefit, and I would always get into trouble. Anyone else in here like that? Lots of hands going up. So the mere suggestion from this text that we're called to treat each other as siblings goes right over my head until we step deeper into James and our connection in and through Jesus Christ. See, this notion of siblings as brothers and sisters in Christ is about being the benefactors of a parent, the benefactors of a God who loves and cares for us, the benefactor of a God who teaches and leads and guides us, and of course, ultimately, being the benefactor of salvation through Christ. We are developing, designing, bookmarking this imagery of a picture of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, benefactors of God's love, James has taken us from looking inward Remember, wisdom comes to those who ask. Looking inward, be quick to listen, slow to anger and speak. From looking inward, God's word being planted deep inside of you, to looking outward, challenging us as the siblings of the church to work together, to not show socioeconomic partiality, to love thy neighbor, and to remember the power of the tongue and how easily it can turn into a stinging tree. James spends a great deal of time vividly unpacking these illustrations and how a very small thing is responsible for giving us direction that can either bring blessings or curses to those around us. The power of the tongue is small compared to the rest of the body, just like the bit in Budweiser's mouth, just like a ship's rudder. Each of them simply and easily control or steer the animal or ship in the direction they will go. This passage isn't about always saying something nice. It's about our faith and how God's words are embedded deep inside of us, guiding our hearts. So the very little thing that controls so much goes in the right direction, casting blessings and encouragement instead of curses and evil. We have all heard and possibly used the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." But I want to change that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but the words have the power to hurt me. Church, beloved brothers and sisters, siblings, benefactors of the Most High God, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? You know, our faith lives in our soul, in our hearts, and our works are performed through our body. Faith and works cannot be separated. The words that we speak have the power to start wars and end them. So what say you, saints of God? Where is our faith? And where is our works? We see the worship band showing their works to all of us. We see the Boy Scouts through their faith showing their works to all of us. Last week, we witnessed the power of our community of faith as we came together, connected by Christ, connected by the stirring of our hearts, showing our works. Many of you witnessed and approached and prayed for a young lady sitting alone in our fellowship hall. We didn't just talk about it, we were being about it. Many of you witnessed a young man proclaim his faith through action and unite within our community. He didn't just talk about it, he was being about it. Many of you witnessed and connected again with the Boy Scouts and will this week with Louisiana, helping those in need. We aren't Cokesbury just going to talk about it. We will be about it. Dear ones, the love that you show over and over and over again is the balm of that stinging tree. The love that is witnessed through you because of God guides our hearts, that in essence, it tethers to our tongues. So let us be reminded that our faith is in God. Our works is in worship. Our faith is in God's hope, grace, and love. Our works is sharing that love. Our faith is in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and our works is to model His humanity. Our faith is in God, and our works is to love others, blessing with the power of our tongue. For without community, good people of God, where is our faith? One commentator writes, James would wonder if faith without community would survive. So let me put it this way. Our faith is in our God, and our community is the works. Let us strive to nurture the work through our faith. As we look at James, we are reminded works are not an optional complement to faith. It is not optional. I mean, Jesus modeled how we are to serve. Remember when he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Send more laborers for the harvest." We are the laborers. This is our faith at work. We do not have to be eloquent or perfect, but we are required to live faithfully and trust the Lord our God, who always leads the way. So, saints, on this day, let us not be a stinging tree, but a healing one instead. Let us take this picture of wisdom, being quick to hear, slow to anger and speak, so that God uses us to bring hope, peace, love and comfort to not only each other as siblings, but to those who need it the most. Faith without works is dead, but we are a working church, Cokesbury. Let our faith grow and grow and grow for all to see, hear, and witness and say, they love God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for the reminder that James is bringing to us. Old news to some, a reminder still, new news to others, but good news to us all. We bless your holy name, O God, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love, your compassion, and how you sit next to us and never leave us no matter what. Thank you, O God, for you are love. And as we are called to love one another, let us not talk about it. But be about it. For you are our picture of wisdom. And all of God's children said, Amen.